We have been examining dumb things that smart Christians believe, and we're trying to have a little bit of fun with some pretty serious topics. And so this is week four of our series. Next week will be the last week. I'm not going to spoil that for you just yet. But then in November, we're going to be studying the book of Revelation. So I challenge you to be a part of that as much as you can. Also next week, going to have a little bit of fall fun. It's Halloween weekend, and we're going to have our Fall Fest next Friday. Hope that you can be here with your families. But next Sunday, going to call that Letter Jacket Sunday. So if you have a letter jacket from high school or college or some type of alumni wear from back in the day, and you can still wear it, want to encourage you to drag that out of the closet, put it on, and wear it. I have my letter jacket from 1997 with all three pins on it, and going to wear that. And so look forward to having a little bit of fun next Sunday. So dumb things smart Christians believe or say in popular culture. Are these things true? Are they helpful? Are they biblical? We started this series out with the idea that God helps those who help themselves. How many people in the world actually believe that that's part of the Bible or that it's one of the Ten Commandments, in fact? And I presented a better biblical statement. No, God helps those who deny themselves. God helps those who help others. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Then the week after that, we talked about this idea that God wants me to be happy. Well, you know, God wants me to be happy. So I'm going to buy that car or that house that I can't afford. Or God wants me to be happy and I'm unhappy in the relationship I'm in, so I'm going to find another one. Oftentimes, that idea is a sanctified excuse for selfishness, when in fact, God wants me to be holy. As I strive to be like His Son, I will be more content. I will be happy. Then last week, we talked about this idea. Things got a little more serious last week. We talked about this idea of everything happens for a reason. We asked the question, well, does God cause everything? Does God will everything to happen? And in fact, I presented a more biblical statement that no, everything doesn't happen for a reason. But anything that happens, God can bring redemption. Through anything that happens, God can bring about reconciliation, healing, restoration. God can use any type of situation and bring good from that. Today we're going to talk about another idea along those same lines. God will never give you more than you can handle. Someone caught me after church and they said, after first service, and they said, well, you know, God will never allow you more than you can handle. You know, God will, but that's the idea that many of us have heard. God will never give you more than you can handle. Now, as we've kind of built on this series together, it kind of seemed to me a little bit like the game that I grew up playing in youth group called Broken Telephone. Anybody played that game before? Broken Telephone. You get a group of students in a circle, and you come up with a phrase, and maybe that phrase is a guppy in a shark tank. And you tell that to one of the students, and that phrase makes its way around. They whisper it to one another, working around the circle. And when they get back around to the beginning, it's usually a skewed version of that statement, or if you have some ornery student in the middle that changes it altogether, it's nowhere near that idea. So I came up with a few of these. I Googled these, in fact. Some of the things that if you decide to play Broken Telephone with your family over the holidays, here's a few ideas. Candy-crunching coconut lovers. Red roses with thorny stems. I couldn't even get this right the first service. Doorknobs, door jams with hasps and hinges. Here's some sentences. Two tiny toads ate fat flying flies. A bunch of yellow bananas launched on a blue boat. Or 12 tumbling purple people pulled turnips. And you can imagine, you say that to a young person, and it begins to make its way around the circle. It doesn't take too long before it gets misconstrued and totally off base. And sometimes I think we grow up with the Bible, or we come to begin reading the Bible, and we come to experience life, and things happen, and we hear people say things that kind of sound biblical, but they're not really biblical. They're a little bit misconstrued, or maybe even completely off base altogether. And so again, without trying to offend anyone, we're trying to have a little bit of fun with some pretty serious topics, these dumb things that smart Christians believe. And so today, this idea that God will never give you more than you can handle. As I said before, none of these statements are biblical. They kind of sound biblical, but the statement I'm going to present today that is very biblical, maybe a little bit difficult to hear, is this: God will give you more than you can handle. Not God will not give you more than you can handle, but God will give you more than you can handle. Now, as we unpack this difficult truth today, I know that this is a difficult reality for some of you. Some of you have experienced this. Some of you have heard this at a tough time in life. Some of you have maybe said this with good intentions to someone else, but usually it's said or communicated when someone is going through a hard season in life. And it's usually meant to encourage or help out or inspire. Someone comes alongside and says, well, you know, God won't give you more than you could handle. Some of you have been in a moment and someone has said that to you and you've wanted to punch them square in the face, right? It's kind of like that idea last week with, well, you know, everything happens for a reason, so don't be surprised when I slap you in the face. Everything happens for a reason, right? Many of us have dealt with that and heard that phrase in the worst of moments. Sometimes that phrase even sounds more like a taunt than a comfort. When we're down and out, and we're struggling, and life is not going so well, hearing those words can actually cause us to feel like, well, maybe we're not measuring up. It can cause us to ask, well, if I'm supposed to handle this, then why can't I handle it? Or maybe it will even tempt us to ignore our suffering altogether and just pretend that it's not there. It can lead us to believe the lie that we can do it ourselves, that we can handle it, which then raises the question, well, if God will never give me more than I can handle, then why do I need God at all? If He'll never give me more than I can handle, why do I need Him? We need to realize, friends, the truth that there are things that will happen in life that we cannot handle on our own. It's not a matter of physical strength. It's not a matter of emotional or mental or even spiritual strength. There are things that will happen in life that we are unable to handle on our own. And yet this is one of those many Christian cliches that gets thrown around when someone is going through a difficult situation, much like last week's everything happens for a reason. But again, this question, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it biblical? So I want to go back and try and figure out where this phrase comes from. Where does this idea born out of? And this is where it gets pretty muddy pretty quickly. It seems to be that this is taken loosely out of context from a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then it seems like that's the basis for a paraphrase of a quote that's sometimes attributed to Mother Teresa. Are you tracking with me now? Okay, so here's the quote that's sometimes attributed to Mother Teresa. I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish He didn't trust me so much. That's the idea that many of us have maybe heard. And if you Google that phrase, it will sometimes attribute it to Mother Teresa. Sometimes it'll say it's anonymous. I don't know if she said it or not, regardless of what Google would say. But that, you read that, and that can be kind of encouraging in the right circumstances. That can be a little bit inspiring in the right circumstances. It can also be painfully hurtful in the wrong circumstances. Again, I want to ask, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it biblical? So where in the Bible is this kind of loosely taken out of context from? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul writes these words, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." But what is that passage talking about? It's talking about temptation, isn't it? I got to tell you, temptation and suffering are two very, very different things. Temptation is, well, you got a couple ways that you can engage with temptation. You can either engage it and fall into temptation, or you can evade it and get away from it. Does that make sense? You got two different ways that you can deal with temptation. You can engage it or you can evade it. Options. Suffering rarely has options. Suffering is quite different. Some suffering is really outside of our control. Suffering happens for a variety of reasons. Oftentimes, as I mentioned last week, suffering happens because of our own poor decisions or our own sin, right? Sometimes suffering happens because of the poor decisions or because of the sin of other people. Sometimes suffering happens because we live in a broken world, because we live in a world of free will, a fallen world. Sometimes suffering happens point blank because of sin. Suffering and temptation are not the same thing. And so God won't give you more than you can handle? This verse is talking about temptation, not suffering, okay? The Bible would teach us much differently about suffering. God, in fact, will give you more than you can handle. Today, we're going to look at three reasons why I believe that God will allow you to go through more than you can handle. why God will give you more than you can handle at times. So if you have your Bible with you, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 7 and work down through verse 10. Just a few reasons why God allows us to go through more than we can handle. Verse 7. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The first reason that I believe sometimes God allows us to go through more than we can handle, or God gives us more than we can handle, is to keep us humble. Sometimes God gives us more than we can handle to keep us humble. Verses 7 and 8, Paul seems to know very clearly why he's going through this, why this situation is taking place, why God is giving him a difficult situation. Paul's had some amazing things happen in his life, right? He's had revelations. He's had visions of the Lord. He's been able to help and heal people. Great, amazing things have happened to him. And here Paul is talking about this thorn in the flesh that he's asked God to remove from him. There are a couple different biblical scholar views on this. Some people believe it was some sort of mental anguish that Paul was suffering. Others think it was something emotional, something spiritual, or maybe even something physical that Paul was enduring. The physical element seems to be the most popular amongst biblical scholars. Standing here this morning, I'm not sure that it actually matters if it was physical or emotional or mental or spiritual. What does seem very clear is that the pain was so severe that Paul had asked God multiple times to take this away from him. And on three separate occasions, God tells him very clearly, no. No, Paul. And Paul seems to know why. The reason God answered him no is to help keep him humble. Now, I'd like to pause for just a minute and talk about how God seems to answer prayers. Because we believe that God answers prayers, don't we? Amen? So sometimes we go to God and we talk with him about something. We pray to him about something. We ask for something. And God very clearly answers yes. We can see that. We can see something happen. We know God has very clearly answered us yes. Those are the things that we celebrate in our small group. Those are the things that we are excited sharing with other people about. Those are the things that we brag about on Facebook, right? This happened. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then there are situations where we ask God of something and he says, wait, not the right time. This isn't the moment. Those are a little bit more difficult to handle because honestly, we want what we want, when we want it, where we want it, how we want it, don't we? And so when God says, wait, we're kind of like, well, how long, God? Then, unfortunately, there's a third way that God answers prayer, when God very clearly answers no. And then we kind of go back, and sometimes God answers no multiple times. It just depends on the situation. But God says no. Those are the things that we don't want to bring up in small group, right? We don't talk about those on Facebook. We hate to hear no from God, but there seems to be three different ways that God answers our prayers. Yes, wait, not now, or no. And in this occasion, God has very clearly told Paul no, and it seems that Paul recognizes the reason is to help keep him humble. One of the reasons God gives us or allows us, I'm just going to say gives us. Can we just understand that I mean allows us? Can we do that? Okay, thank you. I'll talk to the gentleman from first service. Get over, he was just kidding with me. But one of the reasons God gives us more than we can handle, or gave Paul more than he could handle, is to keep us, to keep Paul humble. And if anyone had a reason to be proud, it was Paul. Paul had been called by Jesus himself to be an apostle. Before Paul was called, he's a top-tier religious leader with the Jewish people, right? Paul has done all kinds of amazing things. He writes about this in Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, he's name dropping here, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul had reason to be proud. We have reason to be proud, and sometimes God gives us more than we can handle in order to help keep us humble. That's reason number one. When we're more focused on God and God's plans, we are less focused on ourselves and our plans. That's what happens when we are humble. Here's reason number two. God gives us more than we can handle to show His grace. Sometimes God allows us to go through more than we can handle to show His grace. I want to reread verse 9 from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But He said to me, this is Jesus, He said to me, to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus seems to get more specific about why He answers Paul with a no, why He gave him more than he could handle. It seems as though Jesus wants Paul to see His grace is sufficient. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for the suffering that you're going through. So what does grace actually mean? You can look up grace in the dictionary and it means a good gift, okay? I've heard it said that the gospel message, the truth of God's word hinges, or the truth of God's message for us hinges on these two words of grace and mercy. So what are grace and mercy in the biblical context? Well, grace is when you are given a gift you don't deserve. That gift being love and mercy, or love and acceptance and forgiveness. It's a gift that we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting a punishment that we do deserve. And so we're given grace, we're shown mercy, this punishment that we do deserve, being in eternity in hell apart from God, not being forgiven. Instead, Jesus shows us grace, He shows us mercy, He gives us a gift we don't deserve, we don't get a punishment we do deserve. Jesus wanted Paul to see that His grace is sufficient to get him through any kind of suffering. And so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes God allows us to suffer a situation to show His grace, to help us get through that situation, whether it's physical or emotional or mental or spiritual. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have gone through or am in a very difficult situation and I'm kind of, struggling with that, the last person I want to hear counsel from is somebody that has it all together and their life is perfect, right? Have you ever had that type of person come along and their life is just ideal and perfect? And sometimes that's the last person I want to hear from. Well, that's not Paul. If anyone who knows suffering, it's Paul. If there's anyone who's been through a difficult season of life, it's Paul. So when you're suffering, when you're struggling, and you read these words from Paul, know that you're not alone. Know that you're in good company, in fact. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just prior to what we're reading here on this. Chapter 11. Thank you. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, some versions say naked. Do you get the picture that Paul suffered a bit? And Paul was in danger. And yet God won't give you more than you can handle. If anyone knows suffering, it was Paul. He's writing from a place of authority, someone who has been through most all of it. And so again, if you're going through a difficult situation, know that you're not alone. In fact, you're in good company. Here's reason number three. Sometimes God gives us more than we can handle to show His power. Sometimes God gives us more than we can handle to show His power. Here's what verse 10 says again from 2 Corinthians 12. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Some versions say, for when I am weak, he makes me strong. Paul says, I'm content in these things. All that difficulty that we read from the previous chapter, chapter 11, Paul says, I'm content in those things. Being pelted with stones and being shipwrecked and being in danger and in danger and in danger and being beaten with rods and being receiving from the Jews the 39 lashes, basically a death sentence. Paul says, I'm content in these situations. Because in the midst of these situations, God is able to show his power. God is able to make me strong. It's in those moments that we stop relying on our own power and we have to rely on God's strength and power as we allow God to work through us. I'm going to say something. I don't know how this is going to hit you, but God doesn't need us. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. God chooses to want you. He has pursued you. God chooses to do his work and his will on this earth through us. He wants you and me to be a part of what he's doing. And so God works through us. He shows his power through us in the midst of any and every kind of suffering we're going through. Now, if there was anyone who could have ever gotten out of suffering, who would it have been? Jesus. Sunday school answer. I think it's Jesus. If anyone could have gotten out of suffering, it's Jesus. Jesus had the power to get out of being arrested, to disappear, to walk away, but he didn't. He could have shown a great deal of power in doing that, but he chose to show even greater power by allowing himself to be crucified, to die a horrible death on a cross, to be resurrected back to life so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He chooses to go through this to show even greater power through his Father. In Matthew 26, Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas. And his friend Peter takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear of a man trying to protect Jesus as they're coming to arrest him. And this is what Jesus says. Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Here's the part I want you to focus on. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? More than 12 legions. Jesus chose to go to the cross. It was his option. In this moment, he has an opportunity to put on display his power, and he's very clearly saying to Peter, I could do this, Peter. I could call on my Father and he would send more than 72,000 angels to my disposal. I could get out of this suffering. I could get out of going to the cross, but he chooses not to. Now that amount of angels coming along in an instant, I mean, that would be an amazing example of power, but Jesus chooses to let God show greater power by not taking the easy way out. He goes to the cross. God gives us sometimes more than we can handle to show his power. So that he can show his power through us in the midst of suffering. Now, this is where it gets a little more personal. Because there's a point here where we have to ask the question, well, what does this look like for me? What does this look like in my life? I've shared some stories from my upbringing. I was spared of many things. I grew up in a Christian home, but I still went through some difficult situations, nowhere near like many of the difficult situations many of you have lived. But in the midst of that, I hate this phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle. And here's why. Because when you tell someone, well, God won't give you more than you can handle, it usually sounds like God's okay with what you're going through. God's okay with the suffering that you're going through. God's okay that people lose loved ones early to tragedy. God's okay that people lose their home due to unforeseen circumstances. God's okay that little children suffer abuse. God's okay that people go through all kinds of horrific situations because God won't give you more than you can handle. I have a problem with that. That's not the God of the Bible. God is not okay with the difficult situations that we go through. That's not a loving Father. I believe God's heart breaks when we are suffering. God's heart is torn apart when we're going through all kinds of difficulty, but it's still in the midst of that suffering God is able to work. God is able to show his grace and his power through it. Brokenness and redemption and restoration are powerful stories. And I'm not saying that it happened for this reason, but out of that difficult situation, I don't know of many other powerful scenarios where you can sit down across the table from someone or across from a cup of coffee, and they're going through a difficult, horrible tragedy, and you can say, "You are not alone. I've been there. I know," and really mean it, not just, "I know, well, I know what you're going through." No, I know what you're going through. I would love to pray with you. I would love to encourage you. You are not alone. God is with you. I would love to be able to be here with you in this moment if you will let me. I believe that God often gives us more than we can handle to keep us humble, sometimes to show his grace, sometimes to show his power. But again, we're not alone. Someone caught me after the service and they said, "Oh, you've burst my bubble. I've always thought that, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle is true, but because you're not alone." And I'm saying, well, yes, that's what I was trying to say the whole time. God will never give you more than you can handle alone. He's with you. God will give you more than you can handle alone. So here's the thing. Let's stop saying God will never give you more than you can handle. It's not helpful, friends. Very few circumstances. And it's probably the wrong one if you're considering it. Let's be open this week and next week as we look at another topic to let the truth from God's word help mold and shape our values and the things that we believe and the things that we're going to say. Third, here's the takeaway for today. This week, I want to challenge you to identify areas of weakness in your life where you need God's grace. To identify areas of weakness in your life where you need God's grace. Reflect on this passage from 2 Corinthians 12. Pray that God would help you see areas of weakness where you need his grace. Maybe you are one of those people who, like Paul, kind of struggles with pride and being conceited. And maybe because of that, you struggle with showing grace to other people. Maybe for you, you're one of these kinds of people who struggle accepting the good gifts of love and acceptance and forgiveness. And so in some strange way, you withhold love and grace and forgiveness from other people. For some strange way. Maybe for you, you struggle with belief in an all-powerful God who's with you at all times. And you need his grace in that area. I want to challenge you this week to consider, identify areas of weakness in your life where you need God's grace. No matter where you are, no matter what you struggle with, we are all weak. We are all in need of his grace. God will give us more than we can handle. But the good news is you're not alone. And remember these words, in your weakness, you become strong. In your weakness, he makes you strong. Let's pray together.